kids need to see love.
Oh yeah.
They learn love by seeing it. That's what they learn. It's very important that everything that they see is pertaining to that. Well, most things, you know.
Yeah.
And that they learn how to be positive in life. They learn how to treat other people and learn how to have hope and learn how to see things as, you know, to enjoy life.
Yeah. That's a
wonderful thing.
Welcome to Dadsplaining, a weekly chronicle of all the weirdest, messiest, grossest, and funniest parts of fatherhood hosted by two first-time dads. I'm Jesse. Brandon's off this week, but today I'm speaking with five-time Grammy Award-winning musician Keb Mo. Keb is an iconic blues guitarist who's collaborated with some of the biggest names in music and appeared everywhere from Austin City Limits to a cameo in one of our favorite shows, The West Wing. But he's also a father, and at the age of 69, has just released his first two children's books, published by Flowerpot Press, Life is Beautiful and Don't Throw It Away. Both are based on Keb's music, with inspiring messages for families. Keb's got a lot to say about the power of these messages, but I'm going to let him tell you himself. Before we get started, be sure you're following Dadsplaining on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and we've just started up a TikTok, so you can check us out there as well. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite app, and if you enjoy the show, please give us a rating and a review to help us spread the word. Now, here is Keb Mo. Hi, Keb. Thank you for joining us today. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Nice to see you, Jesse.
Yeah, nice to see you too. Nice to meet you virtually. So I'm really excited to have you here. I mean, I'm a blues fan. I love your music, but there's another component, another side to you that I want to share with my listeners today. I'm really excited about this new kid's book of yours, Life is Beautiful, which was based on your song, Life is Beautiful, that came off of your album, Suitcase. So for the folks listening, I'll just give you guys a little context. It's a beautiful children's book, some really gorgeous illustrations. And the words are, in my opinion, they're perfect as a bedtime story. There's like lots of stars and moonlight and stuff. So my first question for you, Keb, what made you want to turn this song of yours into a children's book?
Well, I can't take credit for the vision and the foresight to turn into a children's book. It was brought to me by Flowerpot Press, had the idea, and I just followed along. I was never really, my ambition wasn't to write children's books, I write songs. But, you know, the opportunity to take a song and turn it into a children's book, and all of a sudden people start calling me an author. I'm like, oh, so it's like that. I'm an author now. Really just a songwriter.
Right.
But I'll take the author thing. Maybe I can get up off my, get my butt and write a book one day, maybe. Who knows?
I could see it. I mean, lyricist, author, you're telling stories either way. And the lyrics to Life is Beautiful. I mean, I think it works so well as a children's book because there is a lot of imagery to it. So it lends itself really well to illustrated stories and things like that. So writing the song itself, where did the song come from?
The song was a co-write with my friend Colin Linden, longtime buddy. And we were like, when I still lived in LA, and he came over one morning. He was just, he happened to be in LA. He was living in Toronto at the time. And we just got a couple of guitars out and was sitting on the couch, just wrote the song. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like just passing. It wasn't even like a planned writing session.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of a cute little ditty and, I'm not going to go, I like this. This is corny. This is cool. Okay, let's go. Yeah. Because I kind of like, I'm a kind of a folky at heart too. I'm a blues guy, but I'm a folky too, So, so I like ditties. I mean, when I first started playing guitar, I learned finger picking first. I didn't learn licks or jazz. Like my Uncle Herman, late Herman Wyatt, he just taught me what he knew. And he was a finger picker and a folk guy,
Yeah.
So, that's how I learned. So life is beautiful. It's just kind of, that kind of positivity is what I like in music, even though I'm probably known more for blues. But even when I'm doing blues, I'm always looking for the silver lining. I'm looking for the bright spot. I'm looking for something to make the song and the story relatable.
Yeah.
Is what it's about.
Yeah, exactly.
Sad story. It's only sad. It's a happy because misery loves company.
Exactly. Well, and it makes sense too. I read something about blues music one time. It may have been Cornel West that said it or somebody else, but that talked about, the element of hope, even when things aren't always good, one thing that kind of comes through in blues music is kind of hope for things to get better. And looking at the silver lining, I think is a big part of that. And I think it lends itself really well to stories for families and children to read together.
Yeah, but I call blues like the U2 movement.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that.
You do? Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Uh-huh.
I thought I was in the corner pining and licking my wounds all by myself. And mm-hmm. Other people are doing the same thing. So it creates a kind of community of misery. And out of that misery comes hope and camaraderie and a feeling of like you're not alone, which is the ultimate feeling.
Yeah. You know, that's beautiful.
Life is beautiful.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and I'll tell you, Kev, just speaking as a dad, story time for me anyway, it's huge for bonding with the kids, with my kid, my son, because like when you read a book with your kid, especially if it's like a favorite that they want to come back to every night before bed or something like that, like it becomes this thing where it evolves and like you add your own voices to it and like you make little inside jokes and the kid knows what's coming and they got their favorite page they go back to over and over again. And I feel like reading this book, that's one of those books. Like it's so illustrative and the words feel so much like a song. For one thing, it's going to be easy to sing to the kids if you know the song and easy for the kids to kind of memorize it and pick up the melody, which is great for learning. So, I mean, I think all around it's an awesome story time book, but because reading is so collaborative and cooperative for families, I guess my question is like, when you released this book, like what were you hoping people would get out of it? Like, what were you hoping families would get to do with it? You know what I mean? And get out of it when they picked it up off the shelves.
My hope was that it would be a positive release, a positive, move mm-hmm. on the part of Flower Pot Press and myself to make something that was cohesive like that, that people could use to bond with their children. Like, I mean, my wife sat and she heard my son, you know, I'm on the road all the time. She read volumes and volumes of Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah.
They just sit and read and read and he's all in it. And to be honest, it really kind of caught me off guard, the whole children's book thing and what it really means. I mean, I remember myself as my first kids' books, learning how to read, because when I was a kid, I didn't read until first grade, mm-hmm. I guess, you know, because I didn't go to kindergarten.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I went to the first grade. So this lady named Thelma, on my mother's frame while my mother was at work, would come over and look after us and she taught me how to read.
Oh, man.
You know?
So yeah.
She had little books like See Jane Run and you know, Jane sees, you know, Tom and, you know, it's like, little words, and I was sitting there reading, and she's going, no, that's what, look at that, that's what's, you know. And I remember this huge word that I saw in the book, and she was trying to make me pronounce it. It was something. I was like, whoa, that's a lot of words, like something. It's like a huge word.
Yeah.
You know, okay, something, okay.
Yeah.
So when I went to first grade, I knew how to read. So anyway, I just, kids' books are very important.
Oh, yeah.
And the pictures and the colors, and because, you know, you relate the colors of the pictures and it's about life, you know, and love and, you know, and there's the couples in the book. It's like, they could be talking about grandma and grandpa, you know, mm-hmm. you know, because when kids need to see love.
Oh yeah.
You learn love by mm-hmm. seeing, you know.
Exactly.
That's what they learn.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important that everything that they see is pertaining to that. Well, most things, you know.
Yeah.
And that they learn how to be positive in life. They learn how to treat other people and learn how to have hope and learn how to see things as, you know, to enjoy life.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful thing.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. They learn so much just from modeling behavior, especially that they see from their parents. So, yeah, I think that there's a very positive message and that this is it's a good tool that I think parents can use, especially, you know, if there's two parents reading it together to their kid, you know, and acting out as they read along with it. I think it's fantastic. So now, Kev, the next thing I wanted to ask you was, I know that this is your second children's book, right? Your first was Don't Throw It Away. Is that correct? That one came first?
So they kind of came up, they were a pair, actually.
Oh, okay.
They kind of came out at the same time.
Nice.
Don't Throw It Away, yeah, the children's book, that's another song.
Mm-hmm.
That song was written for my Oklahoma album, yes.
Nice.
The Oklahoma album, was once again, it was Colin Linden,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we got together, right? And Charles Esten, Chip Esten, the actor named Chip Esten. He's a singer-songwriter. He was the star on the show, TV show Nashville.
Uh-huh.
So he was over. We just started writing this song, and because I'm a big supporter of Plastics Pollution Coalition, you know, and making people aware of plastics. And so I wanted to write something that I'm always going to write something that's useful, that's really of use.
Yes.
So plastics are a big deal because they pose a big threat on our environment, as do so many other things that are fossil fuel based.
Yeah.
And I think after that fact, you know, after looking at Don't Throw It Away and the plastic situation, then looking at COVID, I'm seeing that, you know, even though people have an ability to act in a crisis like plastics or COVID or whatever crisis, you know, climate change, that we need even a bigger reaction, because when you see like people like pushing back on solutions all the time, I do it every day. Every time I get in my car and drive somewhere, I'm pushing back on the solution.
Yeah, makes sense.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, okay, I want climate change, but I really like my car.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it.
You know? And we have one electric car now, so electric car. But, you know, even that has a lot of plastic on it. You know, it's made with petroleum. It's like, so our ability to come together is the best resource that we have. And I think we might be squandering it, you know, and not really understanding how important it is for us to be united on issues.
Yeah.
How to solve them. We don't have to agree, have the same solution. But I think everyone's look at the solution should be considered.
Yeah.
So that's what we're not doing.
Yeah. Know,
everybody wants to win, wants to be right.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody's right in the sense that everybody's wrong, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to be on the side of solutions. So Don't Throw It Away is just talking about reality. Plastic is great. You just can't beat it.
Mm-hmm.
In the ocean and the fish start to eat it.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's cool to me that you're using a children's book to introduce that subject to kids. You know, because it's a good pair to Life is Beautiful, right? Life is Beautiful. You're looking at seeing the beauty in the world, what's so great about it, and about, you know, using that to kind of focus on love and the family and stuff. And then Don't Throw It Away, you've got like, well, here's where we can make the world better. And looking at like not just loving your family, but like loving your neighbor, loving your earth, loving the community kind of thing. And it's never too early to start kind of introducing those values to kids. And, you know, for a kid that might be 5 years old and sees their parents recycling and saying, why are you putting that in the bin and not the trash? It's, again, a good tool to kind of help them understand, here's why we're doing that. Here's what it could do. Here's, you know, a problem in the world that we can all work together to fix. So yeah, I just think that's cool that you've got those two different kind of stories kind of running side by side there in those different books.
You know, recycling is not new.
Right.
When I was a kid, I was born in 1951. And I remember the trash truck coming to pick the trash up.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to separate our cans. We didn't have plastic. I think there was very much plastic, but the cans and the glass and things had to be separated. And then the paper in the backyard was burned in the incinerator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, but it was really because there was a lot of canned food. There was a lot of cans. So
mm-hmm.
I remember, and we knew, somehow we knew we had to do that. But things started moving faster and faster, and we had to figure out that who has time for that, you know, in the quick society. And, and we were told, and then in the 60s, you know, the global warming and climate change was introduced to all our consciousness. And you're probably a little young for that. And we were demonstrating the streets about the Vietnam War and pollution and things. Mm-hmm. But then all of us grew up, and we got stuck in the same rat race that our parents got stuck in.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, Marvin Gaye, What's Going On? Like,
yeah.
Know, 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about it. And a lot of people were talking about it. In the 70s, late 70s, Jackson Brown was marching and, you know, his big no nukes things. And people were screaming loud.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's kind of like convenience kind of takes over. Now we got the iPhone and all these things now. And we're still fighting the same battle. We're still fighting that same battle. But some point we're gonna have to like really roll up our sleeves
and
address it. And that's what I'm hoping for.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm a pretty optimistic guy in general. You know, I see the world, I see things changing and getting better, and I think that's great. And in most cases, that's true. And then you look at the environment, like that's kind of the hardest part, because that's the kind of thing that it a lot of it just gets worse and worse when people don't do stuff about it. And then it gets to a point of no return. So, you know, it's a very complicated issue, but I think it's really cool. Like I said, that you're introducing that to kids and getting families. I mean, you know, maybe even encouraging families that don't do a lot to take care of the climate, you know, to kind of lean into it a little bit more, just to go along with, you know, what they're teaching their kids.
Right. And if you're like struggling to meal, mm-hmm. you're just trying to keep your kids in clothes and food and some lunch when they go to school, because, you know, thinking that, okay, that they're going to school at all, which a lot of people don't even have that. They're not thinking about plastic. They're not thinking about the environment. Mm-hmm. How can they?
Yeah.
You know, so there's that. So I think, you know, it's up to the middle class and upper class and all of us to scream loud enough mm-hmm. that we develop that skill, that, you know, grow that part of our brain that makes us really come together and, you know,
yeah.
jump in the water and save the planet.
Oh, yeah. I love it. Well, yeah. So tell me, Kev, what's next for you? Like, are you, now that you've got these two books under your belt, are there other songs that you might like to turn into books, or are you interested in kind of coming back to it again and, you know, doing something more in the kids book world? Like what's in the future for you, do you think?
Well, I don't know. I didn't even know I had a beginning in the children's book world, but mm-hmm. this conversation is kind of resonating and kind of like, yeah. going, oh, here I am. Like, I'm just working on music and working on, you know, a TV show and different things right now. I just completed an album, and children's books weren't a part of it. So,
yeah.
And now this year I'm turning 70 in a couple of weeks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going like, okay, well now, you know, you're going to write an autobiography.
Hey.
And I'm going like, well, I haven't really lived enough yet. I don't know if I have anything really to say. You know, that's it. And who cares anyway? So, you know, there's a lot of things that I battle with is giving myself permission, and because that's a big order.
Mm-hmm.
Talking like you know something.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the more you find out, the less you know.
Yeah. Oh, hey, that's true. That's absolutely true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's so much to know. There's so mm-hmm. much. But I think if we're all contributing a little bit of what we know, it's not like one person has to know it all. But if you know a little bit, you can share it. And that's important. So I think I just talked myself into like maybe thinking about writing more.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm really excited to hear that. I mean, honestly, like to look at the body of work that you put out over your career, the people you've collaborated with, the places you've gone, you know, performing at the White House, I there's stories there, you know, and whether that's in a kid's book form, in a memoir form. And I'll tell you too, that especially parents who find a kid's book that they like, they remember that author. They remember who put that book out, and they start to see, well, where else can I get this? And when a kid falls in love with it, they see, you know, did they write another book? Is there another one? You know, is there more that I can get out of it? Can we, before you know, Amazon turns it into a cartoon series. It's the possibilities are endless.
Yeah. One thing I used to do when I was reading with my kid, and it's my turn to do the reading, I would look up the author and get on my phone and Google the author. And we mm-hmm. say, let's see who that is. And we Google pictures off. So, okay, now we know that person wrote this book. And we go, let me read the book.
Yeah.
You know, because it's kind of fun to know who that person is, you know?
Exactly. And then you go to the website and you buy the rest of their books and, you know, the plush doll that was made to go along with the book. And then the kid falls in love with that. I mean, it's a whole wonderful world. I can tell you, I'm right in that phase right now. And it's the kids love it. The parents get a lot out of it. I mean, I would say like, if you're inclined to do it, the audience is there and they would love to hear from you.
Well, that's cool. Well, thank you, man. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell me this, Kev, where can my listeners find Life is Beautiful?
In your local children's bookstore, on the website, on Amazon. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm thinking. I can say Amazon safely because I think they pretty much have everything.
Yeah.
Groceries, shoes, uh-huh. you know.
Okay.
T-shirts and socks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Children's books, everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, folks, I will put some links in the description of this episode so that you can find where to purchase a copy of Life is Beautiful and Don't Throw It Away. And Kev, my last question for you, this is an open-ended one that I ask to everyone that comes on the show. As a parent, and how old is your child now?
14.
14. Okay. So you've been in the game for a while, 9 years longer than I have anyway. A lot of my listeners are just starting out as parents, or maybe they're expecting their first child, and there's a lot of questions they have, a lot they're confused and maybe afraid about. What is either the one thing you'd want to say to them, or if you can't think of anything, what's the best advice you ever got as a parent?
Well, one thing that I tell, I would say about a parent is parenting, is to know that that child comes in fully realized, actualized, fully actualized, and that child, baby, is already wired to be who they are. And our job, I think our job as parents is to raise them, nurture them, and listen to them and let them teach you and lead you to where they want to go, and don't mess them up.
I love that. Okay, that's beautiful. That's actually the first time I've heard an answer exactly like that.
It's a collaboration. It's not like the parent has all the information, because the kid's coming from this other whole cosmic place, and the kid knows things that you know.
Yeah.
But it's like any other relationship. It's not like, you know, all right, I know better than you, kid. Mm-hmm. You're just 2 years old. What do you know?
Yeah.
My 14-year-old at 3 and 2 years old, he was spouting out wisdom. It was like, whoa, where did that come from?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll tell you, I've learned things about myself that I didn't know from watching my son and interacting with him and, you know, and all that. So, I mean, I think that is absolutely true. And I love the collaborative side of that word. That's perfect. Thank
you. It's our job to let them teach us and for us to teach them too.
Yeah.
You know?
That's fantastic. Well, Kev, I see that our time has come to a close. I really appreciate you spending some time with me this morning. I love the book. I'm excited to share it. And folks listening, pick up a copy of this wherever you can, in store, online. It's something that your kids are going to love. Kev Mo, I greatly appreciate you joining us today. Thanks for talking with me. And it was great to talk to you.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Keb for being the first Grammy Award-winning guest on Dadsplaining. We can say that now. You can get Life is Beautiful and Don't Throw It Away wherever books are sold, and learn more at flowerpotpress.com. You can also find Keb online at kebmo.com, where you'll find dates for his upcoming fall tour and check out his new single, Sunny and Warm. Until next time, be sure to follow Dadsplaining on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and subscribe to us on the podcasting platform of your choice. You can also join our parenting group on Facebook. Just search for Dadsplaining, a parenting group. We'd love to have you. I'll leave you with a dad joke, courtesy of Twitter user Dad Says Jokes. Where do wolves stay when they go on vacation? At the Holiday Inn. Sorry. All right, we'll see you next time. The advice and opinions expressed on Dadsplaining are solely those of its hosts and guests and should not be substituted for the advice of professionals. If you have a serious concern about the health or development of your child, please consult with your pediatrician. If you're experiencing an emergency, please call 911. Don't listen to us. We're really just good for dad jokes. If you're enjoying Dadsplaining, you might enjoy this other podcast from our friends here at WSB Radio.
Hello, friends. This is Jared Yamamoto from the Power Pod, and we are a weekly recap show where we cover the current events of the week. And of course, during these times, COVID-19 is on everybody's mind. We will cover the good, the bad, and the ugly regarding this crisis. We will be serious with the coronavirus, but we will also find ways to have fun with it as well. So be sure to check us out Saturdays from 11 to noon and Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 on 98.7 FM and AM 1340 WGAU, or grab the Power Pod podcast on any of your favorite podcast providers or your favorite smart speaker.